You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah. Rich
Wars. I know you're like, how could a white man be allowed to be?
He can say the word only in the confines of this podcast. It's what we do, baby! Yeah!
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
I have the power!
With Kurt Metzger and
Oh, Race War. Oh, damn. Do you feel that? Race Wars are back.
Yeah, we got, people.
And it's been a great week. Let's talk about what happened this week first. What you been up to? You came in here angry, first of all. You're yelling at people.
Thing about my money. Every time with this thing, when something's not right, whoever's got to handle it's on a fucking trip. That's like every time someone's not in town.
Well, that's how you deal with... You got to deal with people like that sometimes, Kurt. You can't blow your top.
I didn't blow my top. I got quiet. But I don't even want to talk about that on the show.
I know you don't. That's why I
nobody listening to gives a shit about
they
that.
Care about your emotional state, because at any time you're
going to kill
somebody.
I promise you they don't.
I promise. I'm talking to these people all day on Instagram.
Who do you talk to? Judge Bernie?
I talk to Judge Bernie. I talk to my parents. They love you. They worried about you.
Your parents don't know me at all.
They know you. Jesus, they know you.
So our guest, listen, I want to say about...
Oh, I did Red Eye last night, too. Let me talk about that. I hosted Red Eye last night. It was excellent. I say it was the best since Greg left. Greg Gutfeld, that bum. I had Jedediah Beeler on there with me, yeah. And some other people, Andy Levy, and Joe Mackey was amazing. Mackey's a funny motherfucker.
Mackey Mouse, I like his cut of his jib.
What do you mean the cut of his jib?
Yeah, his sense of humor.
You know what that means, right?
I have no idea
what jib
is. No, dance a jib, maybe a jib and maybe a pilot shot with the overhead camera. That's the only jib.
What were you
know.
Talking about on Red Eye?
We talked about so many things. Hillary Clinton, of course, because she's running. I know you love Hillary. I'm okay with her.
I told you I'm voting Ted Cruz just to put down the internet.
Oh, because you're going the other way.
Just to break the heart of people on Twitter,
right,
that fucking worry about jokes. Like, I want them to have perspective.
Is it the liberals you're talking about?
No, they're not liberals. See, that's what I thought.
Right.
Because I'm a liberal.
Right.
But it's not that. Remember that little punk that wrote about your cousin? You know, Chris Rock's Poisonous Legacy?
Oh, yeah, that dumb black dude?
Yeah, he came on... So
I meant
on
both,
Noam's,
too, the dude and Chrissy.
So he's on Noam's show.
Right.
So he fucking... I told him about broken windows. Like, you think that's probably led to some bad shit, right? The
right.
broken windows.
Why
do you have that for speech? Why do you believe in that for speech? Like, we've got to crack down on every little thing. I'm like, well, how is that liberal? And he goes, I'm not a liberal. I'm a radical. So that's what it is. It's not, these people aren't liberals. They're radicals.
Oh, so they're like extremists.
Everybody on Salon that I despise, where I go, oh, I think they're like, they're not a liberal. They're a fucking radical.
Okay.
And that's what they're labeled for. It's not my label for
it. Who do you hate the most on Salon?
Oh, shit.
Who's like the top of the hate list? There's so much to choose from. I agree. But who's at the top?
I think the guy, whoever had the sit down with Patton Oswalt. Did you read that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we mentioned that on the show.
It was the Patton Oswalt
before.
Summit. And just like the fact that they even had to have that.
Right.
With a guy who has their same politics, you had to have a sit down
right.
to fucking work it out.
Because he's policing the other radicals or the other liberals. So the radicals police the liberals.
They police each other. Like the way lefties work is they'll come down harder on their own than even worrying about a right winger. Do you know what I mean? Because they like to purge. They have purges all the time.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you're on my team, but you're not on my team the exact right way.
Right.
So there's always it's like a nonstop. So
it's almost like Scientology.
Well, I mean,
it's very Scientology-esque.
It's so Scientology.
Part of it is that liberals don't buy into group. Like being a part of the group or respecting hierarchy as part of the
Of course they do.
Structure.
They're punishing you for not being part of the group. They absolutely believe in being part of the group.
I feel like conservatives are like, I'm gonna be okay with being partially on your side, even though I don't 100% agree with you because we're on the same team. And I feel like
there
that holds
go.
Less weight for liberals. Like, just because you're on my team doesn't mean I owe you shit, as opposed to a conservative who's like, we're on the same team, let's deal with this.
But you
private.
Could argue that liberals have a harder party line than even conservatives do.
I mean, I don't know. I think it depends on your perspective. I mean, I think it shifts back and
forth. My perspective is watching people go nuts online all the time about nonsense.
Yes.
That's a hard-ass party line with no room for dissent.
I think that's true now.
Among people who purport to be liberals. Liberals supposed to mean inclusive of, you know, thought and people. And it's not.
They ain't included shit.
They're not open to, I mean, you're right, in terms of, like, ethical diversity and shit. But, like, I think that that's true right now. I don't know if it's going to be true 5 years from now. I don't know if it was true 5 years ago. I don't think it's inherent to, like, liberals.
Well, once President Cruz is in office, we're going to see some changes when he makes America great again.
Let's introduce our guest.
Oh, yeah. So it's Raj Sivaraman. Is that how you say it? Sivaraman.
Sivaraman.
Yeah.
I'll take a bowl.
A lot of people turn me into a Silverman. So.
And where's Jono? You're supposed to get Jono to come in with him.
No, you told me specifically not to.
I said if he believes what Raj believes and have him in, does he not believe what Raj believes?
Wait, who's Jono? Jono's who?
He's Jono's a comic. He's in
his own. Jono's his own guy.
Oh, that's Caitlin's boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend, but yeah.
Still your boyfriend,
so,
nigga.
You know, so this is, I texted you this. So Raj, thanks for coming on, by the way.
No problem.
So a long time ago, I read this fucking article. I didn't realize Raj was here. I thought you were like in Seattle or someplace. Nope. And
he's dressed like it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's cool that it came on because, like, this is like an old argument. This is from back when Norton and that fucking land whale had that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. No. Norton, by the way, will be on next week.
Norton and fucking Man Bear Pig had that debate. And she goes, stop using my vagina as a crutch. And then remember Artie Lang's like, I wouldn't use it to vomit in. I mean, just what an awful.
That's pure poetry.
No, but remember she wrote that open letter to white male comics, which was never explained to me why it's just to white male comics. Like what?
Because she knows better.
But like, why is it just a white male? Oh, is that what it is?
Because y'all ain't going to do shit to her. See,
oh, maybe
you know,
you're right.
Talent would kick her down a flight of stairs. I wouldn't even have to get to her.
Talent is a Raj. Talent is a guy.
Okay. He's a comedian, by the way.
Yeah, talent is a guy.
Wait, now Raj, you're a comic.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how long have you been doing comedy?
A little over 8 years.
Okay, excellent. You from Kentucky? You said
originally. Yeah.
Louisville.
No shit.
Yeah, I started in Kentucky for a year and then I moved to Boston.
Are you Indian?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you know my friend K-1? He's also Indian and from Kentucky. You should know him.
K-1?
Yeah. K-A-Y-W.
Does he do comedy?
No, he does not.
Oh, okay.
He works. Wall
yeah,
Street.
We know
he
each
makes
other.
His parents proud.
Now,
proud.
Yeah. Were you,
he's on Wall Street.
I don't know if I do.
Were you the only Indian in Kentucky where you were, or were you part of a like a community where a bunch of Indians
there was
settled?
Growing up, there was probably about 5 to 10 Indian. I knew like every Indian in.
Really?
I grew up in Lexington, which is a college town. But growing up, there was not a lot of Indian like kids. And then,
honest with yourself, you really didn't like the Indians that you did know, did you?
No, not really. my mom and dad separated when I was like 2 or 3, and in Indian culture that's like huge sin, and so all the Indian mothers would like tell their husbands to not invite my mom to places.
Why is that a huge sin?
Because it's a divorce.
Is that a Hindu thing or
they were separated, so now it's like my mom is like a lone wolf, if you will, and ready to destroy all kinds
she's
of relationships.
She's an untouchable as far as those other Indian women.
Were you isolated too because of that?
Like, basically, so I wasn't allowed to go to like Indian. I wasn't allowed to play with Indian games.
So are you not?
I was the Rudolph growing up.
Are you not allowed to get divorced? Is that a cultural thing or a religious thing or a mix?
It's kind of a cultural thing. Divorce exists, but it's kind of rare. My dad sort of doesn't believe in. It was sort of a weird thing. My parents are still separated. They've been separated since I was 2. Right. So
are they still married?
Technically, but they're not. I mean, they've not spoken to each other in years.
People are out of control.
So in India also, like, people don't really divorce like that?
There's a lot of separation. Divorce is usually, I had an aunt who divorced who, like, her husband and mother-in-law would, like, beat her. So then she got a divorce.
But how do people see her?
That's a good, the mother-in-law thing, that's funny you bring that up because I don't know if you know that, like, in India, because there's like mother-in-law problem. It's not like here where you're like, oh, my mother-in-law is a bitch, right? That's the man use that. That's not in India. The fucking mother of the I don't know why, but these mothers raise their sons like the sun revolves around them.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And so you get married to a guy, and then you're like a slave to his mother.
Well, when you get married, you're brought into your husband's family.
Right.
So
and she's the matriarch there.
Yeah. So the mother-in-law is in charge of you as a woman. So in I'm from the south. It's called Tamil Nadu, and in Tamil, the daughter-in-law translates to it's named Matupunu. which translates to cow daughter.
Puta. So we call them putas.
Yeah, it's basically like your property that's just been transferred
into
this household.
It's simple why it's simple why this works like this, because the dude got to be looked at like a special thing because he's going to get the dowry from the girl's family. So the mother's going to big him up to make him seem like the shit so you can get a bigger dowry and a better bitch to marry. More money. It's all cash money.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is because India, because I want to get to your article. He wrote an article called The Scientific Case Against Rape Jokes, which, as Karen pointed out, is neither scientific nor a case.
I did say that.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fair.
You guys worked on this together, though, right?
Yeah,
Okay. Especially with shit like rape culture and shit, like, the reason India is like that, I mean, I would argue it's like women's fault for raising their sons to fucking with this sense of entitlement. You know
women
what I mean?
Aren't
like,
raping themselves on buses, though.
It's not that. They're raising their children to be cunts. Like, they're raising their sons to feel like they, number one.
How are they raising their daughters, then?
To be submissive and do what they're, so it's, I mean, it's, there's a direct control.
This is
that
a real
have.
Victim blaming kind of
Wait,
thing.
I love that argument.
Well, guess what? It ain't going nowhere. Yeah.
The women are raised to
you
be
get mad all you want, Karen.
If you're going to raise the men wrong, what do you think is
going
to happen?
Karen get mad. You get mad all you want. It ain't going nowhere, and it's 2 billion of them.
I mean, first of all.
I'm not really overly concerned about India's problems, to be perfectly honest. I'm worried about here.
And I don't think the article specifically addressed
it. It's their fault of being Indian.
I mean, the article's not about comedy in India.
Should have been born something better.
My bad.
It is brutal.
I wanted to be white, guys. I really
don't ever say that.
We can see by the tie, but you're doing good.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. So look. So Raj, you wrote this. How long ago did you write this?
I don't know. It must have been at least a year ago, 2 years ago, maybe.
And so I don't want to put words in your mouth. So you tell me what the gist of this was. So, I mean, so you put it in your. So I don't want to just start like castigating it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you.
So there was. I forget when this happened, but there was like a whole thing in the comedy community after somebody wrote some blog against Sam Morril. I don't know if you remember that. And then that led to.
Yeah, Sadie Doyle, who I cooked up a thing with Sam to say
she tried to get
exist.
Him fired because of that.
I didn't. Unbelievable twat tried to get me fired because she was so outraged. But all I did was say she didn't exist. And then get a few people. No, it's not like a rape person. I got a few people to go, well, the jig is up. Sam and Kurt made up this person. Right. And she was so outraged by that. And then she got like some friend in the Daily Dot to write this smear thing about me, which the after effects to this day, I'll still get somebody who's fucking pissy because they read this thing.
It's the best thing that ever happened to you.
It's still circulating.
By the way, I recommend reading it because if you read it, I read it, I'm like, wow, I'm pretty funny. Like,
I share it as much as I can. I always share it.
But my big sin was saying a comic can say whatever they want. Like that, this is the thing that amazes me is I'm pretty liberal.
Sure.
But my big, what I did wrong was not kowtow to this idea that, you know, fucking jokes are the direct cause of anything. But sure. Are you, like... It but, seemed like you're arguing that in this, by the way, but you're not, and I'm got it wrong.
So here's the thing: I came into I was like interested in this. So my background is I'm a scientist. Like that's what my day job.
Nerd,
was.
You nerd.
Yeah.
What's your PhD in?
Nothing new.
What's your PhD in?
I have a PhD in microbiology.
Okay.
Whoa, whoop de woo, Kutrapali! Look at you, all smarter than everybody. I big banged them.
Yeah. Speaking of Salon articles, there was a Salon review of Silicon Valley, and they confused Kumail with the guy from The Big Bang Theory.
Did they really?
Thought they said that he was great in The Big Bang Theory as well.
Good.
And I'm like, good job, Salon.
Those racists.
Yeah. So I had no skin in the game. I didn't think of it one way or the other, and I was just like looking up what was research available online, and I saw these two studies that basically showed that when you present either sexist jokes or non-sexist jokes to population, and these are just like four jokes,
right?
And then they gave them a script of this woman who meets a guy at a party, and then she takes him back to her place, and then he rapes her. How do you feel about that situation? Would you have behaved like that guy? And et cetera. All these questions.
Which one are you talking? Because one I didn't read because it was $40. I'm familiar with both these studies because when I was trying, this is why I'm glad you came on. When I tried to argue with fucking Lindy West, who didn't do anything to me, she's not the other chick did.
Okay.
What they do is shut down the second because they quote these studies like they're fucking scripture.
Sure.
The studies are inherently garbage. First of all, you can't take 20 college boys and then extrapolate that to say it's indicative indicates anything.
Well, there's two different studies. So there's one that was college males only, and then there was one that was both college males and college females.
Well, the one you're talking about, the one I didn't read, the rape one, but I wouldn't buy it just because it was the indicator rise in self-reported rape proclivity So do you feel rapier after this joke? Uh-huh. That's the fucking study. But then the other one about weird disparagement humor.
Uh-huh. Sure.
This one I love to quote because they fucking, first of all, there's nothing scientific about this. The people had a preconceived idea of where they wanted to go with this, right, and then found what they wanted to support.
They'd make it hurt feeling
so,
scientific. Let's
so,
hear it.
Yeah, so what they did was they took shitty stock jokes. This is why unfunny people shouldn't be scientifically breaking down funny, because they fundamentally don't understand it.
Don't get it.
So they get 20 college kids. They go, they tell them stock bullshit like blonde jokes, like how many blondes did it take to screw in a light bulb.
All of them.
Yeah, well, whatever. Whatever. Stock horseshit jokes that doesn't even relate to what I do, right?
Right, right.
Then here's what was going to happen. So after you hear these jokes, are you more or less likely to defund a campus woman's group? Because, by the way, that's how they think, these fucking academic cunts. They can the worst thing in their head that could happen is they don't get their free money from the government. So I mean, just every aspect of it, which, by the way, I don't even need the jokes. I'm like, oh, woman's group? I'm defunding it before I even hear a joke. I'm going to just take the money away from that. But so the study is horseshit.
And you two bitches be quiet, too. I like this quiet.
Chill their mics down.
Don't say shit.
But the very fucking idea you would get 20 college-age boys and tell them stock jokes or decide a real disparagement humor, they call it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that...
You mean humor? What's what humor is?
Yeah, regular humor.
Disparagement humor. As opposed to what humor?
It's only disparaging the way you take it, fucking dickwad.
Yeah, but this, I mean, this also occurred with racial humor as well. And people's attitudes were reinforced in... When they would hear racist jokes, or when they would hear,
it's like three niggas walking the ball.
Yeah,
would you back a cop killing a team?
How do you
for
know
no
they
reason?
Were reinforced? Just explain to me how they.
So I mean, the thing is that they're like, if you delve, so there's this theory called prejudice norm theory. So basically, if you have a prejudice and then you hear an attitude that sort of reinforces that prejudice, then you're going to have your prejudice even more reinforced.
Right.
So you basically normalize it.
Yeah. Right, so you are what you are in the jokes.
So it's like,
know.
Hey, what's the
but
deal
with Mexicans? When somebody offers you that as sort of like as a funny joke, as in terms of humor, you basically internalize it more than if you would if someone says, oh, I hate this person in a non-humorous context.
But sometimes I hear shit, I go like this. That's some racist shit, but it was funny.
Right.
Well, you're.
But hey, that was pretty racist.
Well, prejudice norm theory is a crock of shit.
But then you're acknowledging
it's
as racist.
It's what Caitlin said. It's confirmation bias. When, you know, when you learn a new word or something, you start hearing it everywhere. It didn't just suddenly pop up everywhere. You became aware of it. You looked for it.
Right.
Right. So if you're predisposed to that, you hear jokes. I mean, that makes sense to me. It reaffirms something you already believe.
Okay, but then that's circular. Then the joke, you know, you're putting the cart before the horse. And the joke didn't cause somebody to feel that way. They already felt that way.
But
the joke is immaterial.
Yeah, sure. So people already have their either racist or sexist attitudes.
Sure.
And when you hear a sexist joke, that's just going to confirm that and possibly make it stronger.
Yeah, you're
and that's
right.
sort of what the research
isn't that
is
your
showing.
Own responsibility as a person who has beliefs.
Well, hold
though?
On. Let me go from
to
the
be
beginning.
Responsible as to what you internalize and what you don't.
But if someone has a microphone on a stage and you're just some idiot in the audience, it's like, oh, that person says that women are stupid. Oh,
smart
okay, women are stupid.
It's not the comedian's fault. It's your fault for being a dumb
sure,
buck.
Nobody
sure.
here is advocating for outlawing racist or sexist humor.
Absolutely, people are
but they
not,
are though.
Not
Raj.
Here. That is
not
Raj.
But see, let me tell you the trickle down effect of all this. It doesn't make people more sensitive. What it makes them is sensitive to buzzwords.
Right.
So
right.
people aren't more thinking because of this PC horse shit. Right. They go, no times, no word.
Sure.
And they
okay.
don't even hear like.
But hold on. Let me. This is the beginning of the article. Okay. So imagine you're offered the opportunity to run a business. You're welcome to sell whatever you want. So you go, what do I want to sell? You notice a lot of businesses are selling matches and gasoline. So you think, I'll open up a match and gasoline store.
That sounds good.
And business does really well.
Let's put them on different sides of the store.
You're
why
making
not?
Lots of money selling matches and gasoline. But over time, people start mentioning to you that some people who shop at your store burn down buildings. You say, that's not really my problem. They say, but supply them with matches and gasoline. You are complicit in their arson.
Really?
Yeah. First of all,
wait a minute. Every gasoline go to a fucking truck stop. Yeah. They all sell gasoline and matches. Every single one of them.
Here's the
Robert
fucking
Durst.
Asshole.
Fucking Robert Durst bought a tarp and a hacksaw at a store. Are they responsible for him hacking apart his friend?
Stop it.
But Home Depot currently sells matches and gasoline. I've never seen them blamed for arson.
Money. Every Wawa sells matches and gasoline. Every
also,
place you go,
I don't know.
Inside, gonna have cigarettes. Gonna get a match. Gonna get a lighter.
But also,
let me get $5 on five.
Wait, hold on. I don't see how this is analogous to telling jokes, because a joke is not like a thing. It's not a
product. You put the gasoline and match
but
together.
But what I'm saying, like, I notice a tendency, especially with, like, real liberal types, to feel like jokes are ultimately a kind of propaganda. And so your responsibility is to make sure you're putting out the right propaganda, right? Because your jokes are... Like, jokes are to make us laugh and also to teach us. And I say they're not.
Sure.
Funny is just
not
for the
all
sake
jokes
of
are
itself.
That. Right. All jokes ain't
and
that.
I, and I know, especially
yeah,
that.
I,
yeah, good.
I guess my point in sort of bringing up this whole thing that sort of coming into it, I didn't have skin in one way or the other. But the, I think if there's, I feel like there's some comics who, like, if you look at road comics, they'll say, oh, who are the people you hate in this city? And then you'll just do these hack jokes saying, oh, these people are stupid. We hate these people. And that just reinforces the attitude that we hate these people who aren't from the town that we live in. And I think that's – it's not dissimilar from certain attitudes that there are some comics who have shitty jokes.
I give you that. And they're I know motherfuckers –
I wouldn't say they're good comics, but they're, these people exist.
I know motherfuckers go like this. Fuck Capricorns. Capricorns, I can't stand them. I can't date no Capricorn woman.
Well, sure. I don't disagree with you about
that. That don't mean everybody's going to be like this. Yeah, we need to kill Capricorns.
What I'm saying is the harm caused by a shitty joke is zero. I mean utterly nothing. Okay? And,
sure.
And still, there's still – even at the end of this, I'm still not seeing where – it's going to lead to a rape. Now, number one, I don't see how America has a rape culture. Maybe you could explain it to me. A rape culture is where rape is normalized or accepted, right? Is that...
No, I mean, I, like, my...
Yeah.
Like, well, what happens in India. I didn't believe in rape culture India, until 2 weeks ago. And what made me buy into rape culture was a girlfriend of mine got fucking raped. And she won't go to the police because she believes all of the things... Like, she's not a perfect victim. You know, like she's like the situation that she found herself in was of her own
about?
Doing. But like, I still think
what
that
is
she
the
just
situation
won't.
She found? Why
she,
does that
she was
feel rape
alone
culture?
In a hotel room and there was supposed to it, like it's it gets messy. And in mm-hmm. and she won't. But this guy is like still out there running this fucking.
Yeah, well, guess
and
what?
This, but it
and
is technically
is,
her responsibility. Yeah, to report. And I'm not blaming the victim for her rape.
I am.
I'm blaming her. I'm not blaming for the rape.
I don't think
and I don't think
executed,
you are either.
But I think
I'm
you
saying
stop posting on Craigslist.
It's kind of her responsibility to report the police, is it not? In some
there
places,
you
when you go to the police, they kick you out of the police station for even daring to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean,
that's
when I reported my assault in Charleston. The guy on the investigator, the police were like right on my side when we filled out the report.
Right.
And then when the investigator showed up, he was like, "Look, I'm gonna be honest. This is kind of a he said, she said situation. Like, we can pursue it, but the likelihood of it going anywhere is like nothing.
So pursue it
and
anyway.
So I mean, 19-year-old me didn't do that.
This is the problem with the rape thing. Nobody keeps telling victims they have to report their rape. Yes, a cop might be incompetent or whatever, but you all have to do it. They can't ignore all of you doing it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's not rape, but see, that's not a rape culture meaning rape is normalized as in, and by the way, in real life, I have yet to hear any person say this. Ooh, what was she wearing? This is the straw man that I always hear on feminist
shows. Yeah, and that's a straw man argument.
Who
really
in your lifetime has
about.
Said that? Not on TV.
I haven't heard it.
Have you ever heard anyone
except
go, well, what was she wearing?
No, but I mean, I've heard, like, did she have anything to drink?
I did hear it in the
accused
with Jodie
so
Foster.
What?
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't think it's wrong to tell women not to get blackout drunk at parties because they could get raped. I think that's actually a good idea.
Sure.
I don't understand why that's fucking...
Yeah, don't put yourself in a vulnerable situation.
No,
like,
I think that's...
But that don't make you guilty for being assaulted.
But it does... Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. That's what it is. It's not... I think that telling women not to get blackout drunk is totally true. But if she got blackout drunk... She could still be a victim of rape. It doesn't mean that anything that happened to her was 100%
her. It just makes it harder to prove. It just makes it harder
exactly.
to prove.
Yeah, exactly. And because of that, when you have like this wall after wall after wall of people going like, well, it gets really easy for people to just decide not to pursue it. Like, here's the thing. You're right. It was my responsibility to report my rape, and it's my friend's responsibility to take all the bullshit that's going to go with that, like, shitty, stupid decision that she made because she was super stressed out.
What did she do exactly?
She met a guy in a hotel room because she thought she was auditioning for a thing.
I told you that. I heard that. I know that same story. For
been there,
more than
done
20
that.
Years
she thought she was auditioning for
thank God didn't get raped.
For more than 20 years.
Wow, chicks are dumb as fuck.
I did that
same
shit. I told you guys.
People make stupid stupid decisions when they're out of money and they think that this is the only. I mean, like, she was super stressed out. Yeah, it was totally a stupid decision.
Even making dumb decisions, like, don't sure, make but, like, you people, responsible. Right.
I'm sure
for
her
being
father. Yes. I'm sure the patriarch of her family, if she talked to him, would go, "Don't go do that." And I'm sure she didn't tell him on purpose.
No,
to fucking,
she shouldn't have done that.
She's 100% not responsible for her
that's
own.
That's like assault. She shouldn't 100% have been there, responsible but she to also me. Shouldn't have been assaulted.
But listen,
she assaulted
listen,
herself.
Let's calm it down. Let's calm it down. Listen, we've all put ourselves in situations.
What was she wearing?
Yeah, we shouldn't have been in. Man or woman, we all
yep.
been in situations.
How many drug deals have you
where
talked about
been
on this
in.
Fucking podcast?
And where
you
could
have
got murdered, but that don't mean that you deserve to get murdered because exactly. you're going in somewhere where Dominicans are
it's
selling
like
it up
a,
here behind
it's
it.
It's like when a black person resists arrest and gets shot. Yeah, you shouldn't resist arrest. That
but
doesn't mean that
you
should die
shot.
For it.
Exactly.
The death penalty
wait,
doesn't apply
what
to
that
case.
Buzzing sound?
I don't
fucking know.
Some,
it's somebody's
phone.
It's
not mine.
It's not mine either. Can we get back to this article, though? Because you actually broke it down in like premise conclusion form in the middle of this article, and you go, okay, the first premise is humor can be used to covertly deliver messages that can reinforce negative attitudes towards women. And that, the rest of them are okay, but I fundamentally disagree with that. That there's no covert operation going on with humor. It's just a joke. And then you go, jokes delivered by a comedian are perceived to reflect the views of the comedian. And that's sure. exactly right on.
Yep.
They're just the views of the, it's like when you watch a TV thing that's controversial and they go, the views expressed on this program don't reflect the views of the network. But they're disowning those views.
So many comics disavow, when they get flack from somebody saying, oh, I can't believe you said that. They're like, oh, it's just a joke. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's
a joke.
But it's a thought that you have, and I think a lot of people are
just
disavowing
it. But you internalizing it, not you, but an audience member internalizing it is there on them.
It's not an audience member.
It's you.
No, I didn't force
you to think a certain
way. I agree with most of the points that you're making, but I think that you're misconstruing what he's saying. What he's saying
I'm reading it.
Yeah, but wait, but the point that he just made isn't that I, as an audience member, should accept the views of the comedian, but rather that the point of view of the joke, I believe that he believes that. So yeah. When I write a blog or when I write him an email or when I write something the other time, I'm like, so-and-so believes X.
That's not necessarily true. Then.
Kurt
you can't
has
even,
a, Kurt
can't
has a joke about it.
I'm not saying I agree with that.
Comedy,
I just think
it's
that
like
that's
a painting.
What you're saying.
It's like a painting. It's like
right?
art. You can't say that this is exactly what he was saying out of that. He could be sort of from a perspective where he said, I don't believe in this,
yes.
but this is how somebody looks when they say it. But you might not have
sure.
got that. You might not have got that out of
the and the context is so specific for it to be funny.
Kurt's got that joke about Michael Jackson, the funeral, finding out Michael Jackson died at his dad's funeral. That, like, dude, does anybody seriously think he picked his dad up and started dancing him like a zombie? Do you really? Are you such a dumb fuck? And if you are, then go fuck yourself that you think that happened. He, you know, whatever, disrespected the dead. Fuck you.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about either.
I don't know the joke you're referring to, but the literature talks about, like, one, I forget what the paper is, but there's a paper that it talks about how disparagement humor, like the example of All in the Family, it's a famous 70s sitcom. People who have naturally sort of racist attitudes and sexist attitudes will look at Archie Bunker as a guy who's speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't have those attitudes will think, oh, this is a satire of a person who is racist and sexist.
Right.
And they find it funny for different reasons.
But here's the thing. You can think he's speaking the truth, but at the same time, that same character is a dumbass.
Wait, hold on.
Archie Bunker is dumb as shit, and you can see his ignorance.
But you're seeing it from a perspective of someone who's not racist.
Wait, hold
right,
on.
But they play, but I am a little racist. But they play off
racist,
of his ignorance.
Right?
Yeah. There's a lot of ignorant shit out there.
Wait,
sure. Some of the ignorant shit comes up funny.
That's what I know. So, yeah, okay. So someone takes it the wrong way. So are you arguing then there shouldn't be a show with Archie Bunker?
No, I'm not. I'm not arguing that. I don't believe in sort of the censorship of the media. I'm just saying that, like, as performers, are we saying things that we want people to be internalizing? I guess it's more.
Why are
like
we
I feel like what
for
I
that?
What
the
I wrote
overall message.
What I wrote is probably more polemical than what I actually feel because it's a blog.
But the overall message.
I don't know why I'm held to this
no,
high
no,
standard
I know what
you're
saying,
of,
but the even with all the
writing from 2 years ago, but.
But even with the message from All in the Family, it wasn't be racist.
Sure, no.
So
I agree.
If you watch that show and you thought, "Hey, I should be a racist,"
he's
you
the butt
dumbass.
Of the joke. He's the butt of the joke.
No, he's aware of that.
And the whole dynamic of the show is really family.
Sure,
it's about family,
right.
And everybody in their family got somebody they're embarrassed by.
Right.
Period.
Okay,
let's
but
say
that's
dumb
not
shit.
What he's saying.
I know,
though.
But that's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
Okay, but listen, why? This is what I understand. So if we should have All in the Family, I don't understand. What, like. Do you really think that...
and a George Jefferson, too, who was on that show, he was just as racist as fucking Archie Bunker. Nobody brings that up.
Why
because he's
people,
black.
Let me ask
he was more racist. Well, that's,
we that, hit that, a that, nerve. Yeah.
He was more because I know what I'm talking about. I know TV.
Why do you think that there's a moral component to funny? Because I notice this is, to me, the beginning of the problem here.
Sure.
People think something's funny because it's moral or not immoral, which to my experience, that's not at all how funny works. To me, funny has no moral component whatsoever. It just is. So you don't
think that there people come in with a certain bias and what the humor is doing is triggering that sort of, it's a trick in that sort of morality and attitude?
Explain that to me. What do you mean?
It could be.
And so, if it was,
you're saying that humor just exists a priori. It's just a thing unto itself. But it's a neurological thing that occurs in someone's brain.
Yeah,
and
I don't
so
think
so. My question
brain...
is like, why does that occur?
But anything
and one
can
of the reasons
trigger
it occurs...
somebody to do anything. Anything can be triggering if that's where you're going. It's
for humor, there's a certain set of things that trigger someone to laugh.
I would go a step further and say there's no triggering of any rape by a joke ever. That's never happened. Right. That's
so
akin
what,
to,
how do you explain
that's a straw man argument, and that's not really what we're talking about.
How do you explain a racist joke?
That is exactly what's in it. Did you read this?
Yeah, I read it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm reading it, and what I'm seeing is a rapist might be comforted by rape jokes.
The way that triggering works is like fucking smell or color or sound or like some other freaking neurological thing, but like I don't think we can
wait, what did you mean by triggering? What are you talking about?
He's talking about a that's what I mean
Jesus
is that like we're not
Christ.
Talking about that kind of triggering.
Something
we're talking about a neurological process.
Yeah,
right?
I'm talking about laughter rather than what when you're talking about rape as an action, that is very, very far downstream from someone in a comedy club laughing at a sexist joke.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you explain a rapist laughing at a weather joke? a joke about weather.
I mean,
what triggered that? He got caught in a rain
one
day.
Oh, no, I mean, it depends on the joke. It depends on what. Yeah. Like,
if it had nothing with rape in it,
if the rapist is laughing at the joke because you're making fun of a weather girl, for instance, then that's.
But what
is
if it had nothing to do with a gender?
That's tapping into a sexist attitude.
But
what does that have to do?
Jokes,
but what do I give a shit? I don't understand why I'm supposed to give a shit about the criminal records of the audience. and they might like the, first of all, no one's going to go out and rape from a joke, so that's the end of that.
Yeah.
Secondly. What is it like? Why do I have to have a positive attitude about women? By the way, I do, but like,
you don't.
So what if I? No, I do. I absolutely do. What are you talking about, Caitlin?
No, I'm saying you don't have to. And also, I'm like, people have called you misogynist.
Yeah, and they're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. I go on an individual level. Like, I don't respect women. I respect individuals who may be women.
Right.
Sure.
I don't respect men because they're men. I don't even understand what the fuck that means.
Right.
Sure.
So the people who've accused me of that, by the way, don't know me, and they're making shit up. I've done nothing misogynist, by the way. In fact, I've seen misogyny, people holler misogyny about the biggest... remember the guy from NASA with the fucking tits on his shirt?
Oh, that misogynist?
Yeah. Okay? Because, see, this kind of shit...
That's a bad PR move.
The end result of this shit,
that
this
shit was
bullshit,
very triggering.
Okay?
It was moronic.
This kind of nonsense is a guy who fucking landed a fucking satellite on an asteroid... Some dumb twat can fucking, you have a shirt with tits on it, and you, sir, have that, like, he shouldn't even have to listen to that drivel.
I think.
That great man.
That argument is a whole, I agree with you on that point, but that argument is a whole separate argument altogether. I think the point I'm trying to make is when you're a comic, and you've talked about this numerous times, how people will just shut you down because you have a joke that offends them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going from the counter argument. It's like, why are you offending them? What is it that you're triggering? And you're triggering something in them that is clearly sexist or offensive.
Well, whatever that thing is in them, I want to exploit it.
So the reason people shut off is for the same reasons that some people are finding it better. People who are sexist are going to like those sexist jokes.
And maybe the artists who are
strongly against it.
That's what's
not
wrong. That's what's wrong. It's the people don't shut off because, see, all the jokes that I've ever had somebody get offended or whatever, if you actually listen to the joke, it's not offensive at all.
Not at all.
People half listen while they're drunk.
Half listen while you're drunk.
And then they hear a buzzword.
You hear
and they
what
go,
you want.
Ooh! And so that's
like
really not the same.
Ass.
So what all this sensitivity shit does is it leads people into more of that. They don't fucking hear you out.
Yeah.
I had that fucking where I go, I'm against gay marriage joke. And some dumb cunt from NYU threw not her drink, by the way, someone else's drink. This entitled, typical fucking college white cunt. I'm upset and I can pick up this man's drink and throw it at this man. So the bitch didn't even listen to the whole fucking joke. Right. She's got to fucking spill a drink on me.
Right.
Because she doesn't like the first thing I fucking say. And this is what gets created by this nonsense.
And the setup is the opposite from the punchline where you reverse the position. Yeah, I mean, like, all of that is absolutely true. But I think what Raj is saying is that when the audience member hears a joke, they have an impulse in their body. That's
good.
Like
I went
brain,
for that impulse. That's I
like,
went for it.
But
good.
Wait, that it's like, it's funny because it's true. Like, that's what they're laughing. Like, that's so
it's
funny because it's true.
And sometimes they're going like, this is funny, he's silly.
Further...
It's funny because he's silly.
So what?
But, the, but like, right, the question is, so what? They're doing. What?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
what?
I know, but what you're saying is that that's reinforcing whatever it is that they're thinking. And Raj's question, the question that is raised in this article to us, is that that's not a make-believe phenomenon. That's a real thing. And so he's asking us to ask ourselves the question, is this something we want to be doing? And Kurt's answer
but
is
I would argue that it's
whatever.
Not something that we're doing.
Yes.
It's something that is inherent to the individual.
Sure.
Right. And incumbent upon that individual to whatever, soul search or not. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But and that it's not your responsibility as a comic. It's just not. Your job when you get paid as a comic is to make,
is to
people,
make
laugh,
people laugh.
And that's the long and short of it.
But
yeah.
if you're saying something
you.
That is sexist or racist, you're not making certain people laugh.
But you maybe
you're making
other
people
laugh.
What?
Yeah, but
so, what?
So
if everybody laughs at a joke,
the question is,
own audience.
What's the tipping point? Are we getting more people that are going to be more offended by these sexist
Let
racist
me
jokes?
The
or are we getting fewer
Raj?
People?
It doesn't matter.
Everybody now. Everybody quiet for a second.
Okay.
Raj, if everybody laughs at a joke, it ain't a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Okay?
If everybody laughs at a joke, it's not.
Everybody's happy with it. It ain't do something. Do
it's
something
not
different.
Challenging. It's not pushing a boundary, which is
different.
One of the roles of comedy.
If nobody gets offended at some point, or somebody say, "Oh, he went too far," old nigga, go back to the drawing board.
I mean,
like,
true.
Janine
because
Garofalo,
you ain't doing something right.
Janine
if
Garofalo
someone's
and Anthony Cumia are never going to share an audience.
Period.
Like, yeah, and so Anthony Cumia and Janine Garofalo are never going to share an audience. And like,
sure
my thing
how many people are getting offended by Jerry Seinfeld?
Some people are. I do. By the fucking dry ass shit. So yeah, sometimes
yeah.
That shit.
By the way,
you're not offended by what he's actually saying.
Should I aspire to that?
Look
no,
to
no,
the,
no, I'm not saying. I'm not saying.
Wait,
you should, but I'm saying.
I can't get offended by look to the cookie. You gonna make black kids die by cops, and you just gonna say look to the cookie? You think I don't offend a motherfucker? That can offend me if I wanted to.
Sure.
Right.
But it does not, because I know better. I'm not dumb.
No, like, that's one of the moral. Nobody makes you feel a certain way. You're responsible for feeling that way.
I say look to the cookie. It's funny. But I don't think that's going to solve all people's problems.
So do you,
I think challenging.
Stop it.
All right.
I love
you
it,
subscribe.
Though,
no,
so
I think that I think challenging boundaries
you're
is like
a smart
is,
dude,
is
and
very,
I love
very,
the perspective
important.
That you have.
Yeah,
this
you
perspective
are.
Is great. I'm
but I think people are allowed to be racist and sexist. That's my position. Is but like if you are a racist or a sexist comic and you're making racist and sexist joke, God bless America. There's God knows there's an audience for you.
Yeah.
But like what I'm saying is that if as a non-racist or a non-sexist comic that maybe on the road because you're fucking cheating, you're leaning into beliefs that you don't actually believe because for just the fucking laugh,
but you're,
you should ask yourself the question, is this something I want to be
doing? Oh, yeah,
that you're not an elected official. You're not a politician. You got no responsibility towards anybody except to make your audience laugh. That's it.
And feed your kids.
Yeah,
and
but you can
kids.
You can make your audience laugh just by doing racist, sexist, lowbrow. Like
God
that's
bless
that,
you
that,
guys.
That doesn't
go
challenge
for
anything.
Wait,
why
and
is
do
that?
It.
Why
and
is
some
that
do.
Lowbrow?
And there's, I have no problem with that.
This is the other
that's
thing.
It's simple.
Crowd.
It's simple.
Wait, okay.
Yes, and hold that's
on.
Their thing.
Hold
who
on.
Cares?
But Jackass is hilarious, and that's
none
simple.
Of, none
let
of you guys do that.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Steve O. Keep listen. I hate the nigga is one of my boys.
Sure.
His comedy stinks.
Okay.
To high heaven.
Uh-huh.
If he ain't setting his balls on fire or something, nigga, what are you doing?
Look, that's funny as hell.
That don't mean I want that kind of comedy destroyed.
Hold on.
No, I'm not saying it should be destroyed.
No, I'm saying
there's
that,
different
just,
like there's different styles.
But hold
and I think,
on, you're talking
I think
about
the problem is that there's sort of comedy is grouped as one lump thing.
It is.
Right?
Which is
just
a
like
and
hip-hop.
And it's very, very
well,
the way that it's advertised.
Wait, shut up. I want to get at something. I'm trying to and I can't.
All right.
Here's the thing. In saying it's just a joke allows comedians to decommit from owning their opinion. I don't know what that means. It's just a joke means it's just a joke. Jokes affect nothing.
Well, that's what I was saying from before. I was saying that comedians disavow that they what they are saying is actually what they believe.
Oh, but that's their own reality.
Okay.
I just had motherfuckers say that to me, and I've choked the shit out of them.
Sure. All right.
No matter what. You
but
think
look,
it's a joke? It ain't a joke.
But
to me, it ain't
hold
a joke,
on, I'm not at
and I'm going at you.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when a comedian makes an observation about a homeless man sleeping on a Central Park bench,
and vice versa,
many comedians will likely make fun of the behavior of this man, calling him lazy or making fun of his attire. The underlying message of this is homeless people are less than us. Why not make fun of the rich people who pay millions of dollars to live around Central Park while he gets to live in... As comedians, we have a choice about what we choose to laugh at. See, this is
That's
fucking...
That's where I disagree.
This is the despicable thing here, dude. The point about this whole debate is let's stop attacking victims and start attacking oppressors. Where is this horseshit coming from? This punching down comedy. I mean, do you subscribe to that? There's punching up and punching down. You don't see how punching up could be punching a sacred cow. Clearly, if you made, let me finish. Clearly, if you made a sacred cow out of the homeless, okay, that's punching up. If it's a sacred thing to you that I made fun of, I'm punching up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, punching down does not make even saying that indicates you believe you're in a caste system where you're better than this homeless man. So to mock him is punching down at him.
Right.
That's how is that make you enlightened to say someone's beneath you?
Ultimate condescension.
That's so why would that be a good thing? And I understand. Like, where does this come from, this punching down bullshit?
I also think that, like, the creative process is already hard enough. If something wakes you up in the middle of the night and makes you giggle, I think that you have a responsibility to try it out on stage and explore it.
Usually
even
it's a
if
prostitute.
You're, you know,
well, thank God you interrupt me to say that.
Can
we cool her mic down? But what is this shit about attacking the victims and attacking the oppressors? Like, why are jokes considered an attack? Why is this like politics? Like, why am I making a political speech by doing a joke?
I mean, there's a long tradition within humor is that people used to hate comedy because back in the Greek era because they believed that that's a way to take down society.
Yes,
so
but
it's not anything new.
No, take down power.
Listen.
Yeah,
to
take down power.
What do you think
power.
The purpose of it is?
It was fearful. People
were
afraid of it.
They still are.
Yes, they are. What do you think the purpose of it is?
Yep.
Like, the purpose of funny is just being funny. It's not to educate, but it's not
to
educate.
It don't have to.
It's not to improve shit except be funny.
Right.
And all the people that are into this shit, with this fucking PC bullshit, they think they're teachers. They all think they're teachers, and they're going to educate us. And then the person being disruptive is interrupting their class. So that's where these fucking feminine, like, especially like Lindy West or someone with her bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here trying to enlighten society and you're dragging it down with your fucking lowbrow humor. And then they throw out these labels like lowbrow and shit. You don't even know what the fuck humor is in the first place.
Sure.
I do.
So just explain to me why do you believe that there's any responsibility in comedy whatsoever for that? Like, what do you think the purpose of comedy is?
What do I think the purpose of comedy? I mean, I think the purpose of comedy is to make people laugh.
Okay, so if I got the homeless guy saw fisting his own asshole, should I not have mocked him for that? The guy's fisting his ass in public.
Yeah.
Like, should I have found a richer man to mock?
If you saw a rich man fisting his asshole.
And a homeless guy be like this.
Which would you make fun of?
That in public.
Yeah, which would you make fun of? The rich man or the homeless guy fisting himself?
A homeless guy would tell you to mind your fucking business. Stay out of his business. He can speak for himself.
Sure.
And give him some of the money. If you want to help me, give me some money and shut your fucking trap. That's what a homeless man would say.
But to throw your question back at you, which would be funnier to you? A rich man fisting himself or a homeless man fisting himself?
The homeless man is a million times funnier. He was laying on the base of some stairs with his fist in his ass, and
if a rich man was doing the same exact thing.
But I've heard you do this joke, and your
so
joke is how
as to not mean anything.
First of all, the rich man got for more free time. He can fist his ass. Homeless man
the rich
way,
men are fisting their assholes in private.
I don't
That's
think
the
there's
best
a fucking
rich.
Number one, I didn't see what I
if
saw.
If you saw a guy in a business suit on a stairwell, pulling down his pants, shoving his hand up his
ass. I'm not making up the story. It's a thing I really saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So should I not make fun of a thing I really saw because it's not... He might be a victim.
You're speaking of
a thing I really saw, let's bring some levity to this fucking podcast. I was in a strip club one time downtown on Houston.
Yesterday?
It was in a bank. Which was yesterday? Me and my cousin Tom. We was down there, and there was this dude at the bar in a suit. Nice suit. Mm-hmm. White dude. Putting his finger in his butthole and smelling it for at least 45 minutes. I was like, Tony, doing it again. Look at Tony, look at the nigga. Look at the nigga. Nigga going in like that.
Well, I'm sorry about
right
that.
Right in his own butt.
And I wish you hadn't called me a nigga. And I can do what I please.
I got
a new suit and I got easy access.
What I'm afraid that this line of thinking would lead to, like my fear is that when you started this story, all right, if I had just gone like, no, strippers are a protected class. They're all victims. We can't mock them at all. And then we just don't even get to
the
fucking
funny of
the
story.
Right.
Yeah,
because
sure.
we're like imprisoning ourselves with these fucking beliefs. And I feel like self-righteousness and comedy don't really mix just because like the way like your writing process and your editing process and you're like, do I decide to do this on stage or not? process are three different fucking things. Yep. And I think you should just have the absolute freedom to explore things that are funny and deal with like the ideological repercussions later when you're like, is this something I want to include on my special?
Yeah, you think
that's like a different kind
of
decision.
You think like a famous artist, a famous painter never painted something and was like, ooh, that might be a little too rapey.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm still put it out. And that was a classic, it's a masterpiece.
In his day,
it was rapey.
It was offensive on some
Michelangelo,
some
way. It was mad offensive.
Yeah. Well, look, the problem with this argument is that on one hand, it's predicated on something that's not true, which is that humor has some higher purpose. And second of all, that it's a really dangerous slippery slope kind of argument. Every single one of these are. That this is going to lead to that, which is going to trigger this person, which is going to cause a rape. And that's not how things work. And then, if you, let's say you accept that argument, you could extrapolate that to apply to anything. Everything triggers somebody.
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right.
You can't hold people to this impossible standard.
I disagree, though, that I do think that what we all know, like, you're right, the goal of comedy is to make people laugh, and that's an end and a good in and of itself, and that's all it should be. But also, comedy serves a fucking higher purpose in society and is so important.
Lynn Coplin.
It can, but it doesn't have to. That's not its purpose. Sure.
Let me talk about comedy. I know a little something about comedy. Lynn Coplin has a joke about raping the rapist.
Yeah.
Who's going to come out and talk for the rapist? Hey, these guys have rights. Yeah. You can't just rape a rapist in a rape joke.
Well, look.
If that's how we go. That's how
the ACLU.
The dominoes written, are going there.
What's written in your article is comedy. The purpose of comedy is twofold: provide entertainment and promote the betterment of society. No, it's not.
Do you really
think that the purpose of comedy is to promote the betterment of society? Why do you think that?
I don't know if it.
Dice Clay did that. He promoted the betterment of society. It was hilarious. He didn't do that.
You know, I think that the comedy can do these things.
Yeah,
sure.
And I don't think that it's mandatory that it should do. I think also. I feel like I'm also being like acquitted over something that I wrote 2 years ago.
I do believe to a certain extent,
but
it's not so much you, it is.
It represents
the other people who say this shit. I couldn't get them to come on and defend their thing. Okay. So kudos to you. And there's a lot of people with this fucking mindset.
I expect you to read a lot of my blog, but I wrote another thing about Suey Park and the cancel Colbert thing, which basically sort of went the opposite way on that. And I find a lot of people who are doing the sort of quote unquote social justice online are doing it with sort of this self-centered kind of like I need attention for whatever my cause is, rather than actually trying to be funny or do, you know.
Right. That's a glory seeking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's basically right now there's this people who are trying to be funny and there's people who want attention for themselves. Mm-hmm. By doing sort of hashtag defism,
who are riding their coattails, who are not funny, and that's the inherent problem.
There's a thing in here, I can't find it. But
you want to see some of the rapiest, most offensive jokes you ever saw in your life? Go to an open mic.
Yo.
Yes.
Go to an open mic.
Yeah.
And but you'll be like, holy shit, is this really the bottom?
Listen,
it's the worst.
But nobody complains about that because they got no money, they got no prestige. Yeah, so nobody attacks.
But that's why Lindy West wrote her thing, because she had the balls to go, I'm not a tourist in this. I've done comedy at 6 p.m. at a pizza place. So this stupid cunt is talking to open micers. Like, she saw some open mics and had the balls to talk to all comics.
Yeah.
Of which she's not. But the thing I'm trying to find is, you go, what we choose to laugh at. I think that was the phrase used. That's the part. This is something Karen said a while ago, which she's
I did,
dead
though.
Right. When I do Hannibal's fucking... Oh, he don't run it no more, but a knitting factory.
I like that room, but you hate the people there, don't you?
I like the black people.
I got called the N-word there.
I like the black people there.
I hate,
what I hate in the audience is there's a bunch of owl-faced women with their arms folded like this who, as she put it, make a decision to laugh. There's nothing scummier. You know, if a joke, you don't choose to laugh. Laughter is a thing you have no control over.
Rest assured, those women it's also like a can't rape. Come.
You well, said laugh. That, though. It's a neurological thing.
Laugh should be forced out of you against your will. Right. So to sit there and go, I've decided to laugh at this, or I've decided not to laugh.
The bestowers
you're
of laughter.
You're a piece of shit to do that.
They come there entitled. Yeah, for sure.
You're totally right about that.
Yeah. They can lick my asshole.
Anyone who makes a decision to laugh, I mean, you really are the lowest. Of the fucking
you're a psychopath.
Yeah, I mean, but if you go to Williamsburg, there's tons of those people who come in there, I have a $4,000 studio apartment and I live in Williamsburg, and this jester better make me laugh, and that's who's
going there? My 50-year-old mother also believes the same thing with her book club. It's the same mentality. People like, that's not okay.
People who does like decide to laugh are the same people who decide to cry. Phonies.
Yeah.
Fucking phony baloney.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a sociopath.
Fucking.
I'm going to exhibit emotion at this point. Yeah.
An audience can, you can have a hack audience the same way you can have a hack comic.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna buy that shit. Yeah.
So what is the exact definition of rape culture, if I'm not clear on it? What is a rape culture?
I believe rape culture, as I understand it, is that there is a culture that sort of tolerates rape within society, that sort of accepts that a woman or person who is raped, not necessarily a woman, a person who is raped is at fault for them being raped.
And you think that we live in that in America? In what way? Because I think I agree with Rain, the federal RANN,
yeah.
Because that I love them because they came out blasting that rape culture bullshit, which is like the pop thing now. But the overwhelming message of culture in America is rape is wrong. It's overwhelming that rape is wrong. No one is saying rape
right,
is
but
okay.
But what does rape look like?
But here's the thing too. Yeah. People are also uncomfortable with rape even when it happens and the whole situation of it.
Yeah.
People get uncomfortable. So with that,
with
that feeling of being uncomfortable, you can also mistreat somebody's fucking.
Well, contrast that. Look, in India, where that chick got raped on the bus, and then they did that documentary that India got mad about because it let's face it, makes India look pretty shitty.
Sure.
The shit the men are saying, that's a fucking rape culture. The one guy goes, the bus driver goes, well, you can't clap with one hand. It's mostly her fault. What's she doing out? that's rape culture.
That's just,
right.
A Carl's Jr. ad where somebody's bikini eats a burger. I'm not clear on how that's rape culture.
But
that's the
like
shit they say.
But I don't think I think you'll find people who will say
that's not most of India,
like
though.
What happened to Ashley Judd. She was people were telling to go fuck yourself. Totally, I want to rape you. I want to do all kinds of terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they
people say shitty things online.
She took that to the cops though, didn't she?
Yeah.
Wait, so you tell me some kid on Twitter who doesn't who's blathering is the same as
I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm saying it's sort of it's an attitude. It's an attitude of. Entitlement that exists that you talked about in India
here with the tweets. You mean wait, hold on. When a kid's tweeting, I hope you get raped to somebody
Ashley Judd.
Anita.
I don't know. I don't think they were all kids there. I mean, there were some who were there. 20.
But the people who write that are finding the worst thing they can say to say, and I don't think they have any intention of rape.
It's their version of calling somebody a nigger.
Yeah,
that's
what that is. So
women.
I'm not seeing.
We're on a show.
Yeah. So
you said it was fine.
I don't think that translates into an actual endorsement of rape. Other than somebody with a immature troll trying to make you feel
well, it's. I mean, right. I mean, you can say that, but we don't know. Like, it's impossible to know if that attitude leads to someone raping somebody. It's impossible to test that.
Well,
say,
I would submit.
Here's some stuff. Go see if you rape somebody.
But people who commit rape, and this is feminist acknowledges too. Most of the rapes, especially the college campus rapes they talk about, are a very small percentage of repeat offenders. You understand?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that means there's not a cultural factor. It means people that are going to do that are going to do it. I'm sure Jerry Sandusky didn't tell rape jokes.
No, but
I'm sure he never did. I'm sure in fact, that comic, what's his name? Vince Champ, that's the serial rapist.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He was a clean comedian.
I 100% agree with you there, but I think that the serial rapists on campus depend heavily on the victims being ashamed. So like where you said the bus driver was like, well, what is she doing out? I feel like our version of that is like, well, why was she that drunk? That's what I think we're looking at.
Okay, nobody's saying don't punish the rapist, but why was she that drunk? That's a great fucking question. Why was your dumbass
that
fucking
19.
Drunk?
Taking public transportation isn't a rapeable offense. I'm not saying you deserve
to
get
raped.
Drinking
in college is not.
No. That is absolutely not where I'm going with that.
Not.
Obviously, nobody's saying that, and obviously,
some people are saying that.
Yeah, but none of us are saying that.
My question: what is a rapeable offense? If we can't. Let's go to the other way with it.
Go to the board.
I say telling a shitty joke is a rapeable offense.
Listen, to say this nonsense where you go, well, you don't ask who to tell when. Like, of course, you don't deserve to be raped for any of that shit.
Sure.
But if you do something stupid, happen.
What is stupid?
Okay, the girl that at 3 a.m. decides she's going to go sit on the pier, this girl that got raped, like, that's dumb as fuck. In fact, I've had ex-girlfriends, fucking Delfino, used to get mad and go, I'm going to take a walk. I'd be like, well, we live in the middle of nowhere. It's 4 a.m. Don't go take a fucking walk right now. No, don't tell tell me. I'm going to go. Like, I wouldn't go. Yeah. I, as a man, wouldn't go take a walk around that area at that time of night because I don't want something to happen to me.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's real stupid on her part. She should stay the fuck in because she might get raped.
Let me tell you
something. I don't understand, like, what the problem is with that. Just be smart. There's no, like, men don't live in this world where we just get to feel safe all the time. And that's how these feminists frame it. Like, men don't have to put their keys in their hands like Wolverine when they go to their car. Yes, they do. Men don't have to.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, of course you do.
I live in constant fear.
A man's fucking, that's exactly right. A man's life is
because of that tie,
but dude, that's a fact. You live in a constant
thing. I wear a tie,
thing,
so I look professional.
Constant thing of running scenarios
Rapeable.
Of what kind of karate might I have to pull out?
Yeah.
Right. What kind of Batman level shit?
Oh, yeah.
Might I be called upon to do at any given moment?
Right.
So why the fuck shouldn't women feel that? If I feel it, why shouldn't women? You see the entitlement there?
Here, no, here's
I
the
don't
difference.
Feel safe. Well, who told you you're
society
supposed to
society is inherently unsafe.
Here's the difference, Kurt, okay? Right. So, like, if you get mugged or whatever, you just go to the police and you're like, this fucking asshole mugged me, right? If a woman gets raped and she had a bunch to drink, she's just not going to go to the police. Or when she does go to the police, the fucking investigator's going to go, well... So, like, that's the difference.
How
is
do
that,
you
like,
know that?
You can just
maybe
fucking...
it's just go to the police. Here's the thing.
I mean, I know that.
Like people
from my experience.
Like, that, see, they don't... The message with all this rape shit is... The main message, instead of no more, which is fucking...
I don't like that either.
Yeah. No
yeah,
more.
No, right.
Yeah, that'll work. If there's one thing rapists get, it's the phrase no,
rape,
right?
Rape isn't going away.
I mean, that's a
prostitution
great
isn't going
drugs.
Away. Like,
yes.
Just, we have to live in a world
what
where those
you
things
do
exist.
Is go, hey,
just
if,
say
you're,
no.
If you're a victim of rape, report it. If the cops don't do what they're supposed to, go to the fucking paper.
That's on
report.
Them.
I
yes.
think that's,
rapists
that's
are not
a great
counting. Rapists are not counting on jokes. They're not counting on any of that. What they're counting on is you not telling on them. That's what they're counting
sure.
on. So none of this shit, because you're not allowed to put any of it on the woman in fucking feminist land. None of there's no point where they have any responsibility to do anything. But the smart move would be go report your rape. Report your fucking rape. That's what you have to do. Yes, by all means, tell men to stop raping. Good luck to you. Mm-hmm. I don't know that's going to happen. But on your end, go fucking report it. And they don't do that. They make it like, well, we can change the culture and that will end rape. No, it fucking won't.
Yeah, you gotta do
and I got, by the way,
basis.
Smeared. I got smeared for this by the Daily Dot thing when I go, everybody, it doesn't matter what the culture is, people get raped. Okay?
Yeah.
And I don't
all
care if you're
globe.
A Hasidic Jew or a Hell's Angel,
yep.
people get raped.
Yeah.
And they made it like, well, everybody gets raped, so it's fine. That's what I, which is not what I was
no.
saying. What I'm saying is there's nothing cultural you're going to change that's going to make a sex offender not be a sex offender. They're broken. There's nothing,
right.
you know what I mean? Like,
no,
you can't educate
rape
people.
Culture is
the
just
culture.
People are culture because the culture is made of people. Monkeys rape each other, and that's where do you think we come from?
You know how people
culture is rape culture, and
also
rape
unclear
culture
if
is
monkeys
culture.
Rape each other.
You know
I,
how
no,
they say if
I
you
thought,
take
no
away guns,
is there consent in monkeys?
All animals.
That's
rape.
A great question.
Yeah.
As a scientist, you should.
I know.
Okay,
that's
when most
that's what I've always. People always say that monkeys are raping each other. We don't even know.
Do you know ducks? By the way,
I stand corrected. That's a good point.
Did you know that ducks, their entire biological system?
Oh, I love this.
It's based on rape. They have these corkscrew barbed penises.
Oh, that holds them in.
Right, and the reason
it
holds them in, and
it
the female
better.
Vagina has fake chambers to trick the penis into going
and
into
the corkscrew
the
goes the opposite way.
Yeah, they have a corkscrew the opposite way to keep their dick from fitting. And then if they do fit the dick, it goes into the wrong
a
chamber.
A trick vagina.
Yeah, they have a trick vagina.
That's shaped all the way.
Yeah, that because their entire biology is based on rape.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that fucking crazy?
Well,
that's why they're so delicious.
Well, your penis has a little bulbous head so that you can dislodge semen that exists in it already. So the ducks are not alone.
Nice. Right. Just say that again, but slower.
Well, Sherrod, your penis has a bulbous head.
Yeah, it does.
But
yeah,
maybe it's deep in the eyes.
But you know what?
Women
maybe
respond
if,
to all
you can dislodge a lot
way.
Of semen, Sherrod.
Maybe
you, Raj.
You know, maybe if the ducks stop telling these rape jokes, it might be different for them.
Did you?
You don't know how many rape jokes ducks take.
Perhaps if the ducks culturally would see women as equals, they would stop with their rapings.
If they would just stop swimming late at night.
That's why those duck calls, rape whistles.
Mm-hmm.
Just a rape whistle, not duck call. this has been a good show, though. This has been nice and heated. Roger, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're an awesome
no,
guest.
No, it's good that you
yeah,
came.
Yeah, this is great.
Because I can't get anyone
to
defend their
to be
fucking...
Sorry.
No, but look, dude.
Did
it's,
your homework
it's very, few, it's very few people will come in and defend their fucking... Those
talk.
Fucking girls I talk to, Lynn mm-hmm. West, their whole thing is a dismissal. First of all, they...
Yeah, you're
they
a
talk,
white guy that
right.
come from a position of power that has no right in talking about anything.
Right, so
we
they
like,
so wrong about Kurt?
I love the position of power. Yeah. I mean, that's my whole fundamental problem with this oppressor
sure.
thing is like... you don't know who has power and who doesn't. Like, I certainly don't have power.
Right.
Especially not from being white. I don't even know where the fuck.
I don't have any money from being Jewish. Life's not fair.
Yeah.
Do you know about horseshoe theory of, like, political activism? So, like, when you get so far to the right or so far to the left, they sort of turn into the same sort of, like,
neo-fascist.
Yes, that's called the circle theory.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
They and they live
Jews.
In the woods and they grow their own food.
That's at either end of the spectrum is Jew hating. no, it's absolutely. But what they do is. These girls don't want to debate. Yeah. What they want to do is be listened to, and that's it. And
accoladed.
Well, there's sort of a, you have to conform to some sort of mentality.
You know what they need, right?
Yeah, party line.
That's true of almost all.
That bulbous head.
They need that bulbous head.
The thing they don't get about
that semen.
The thing they don't get about punching up and down is, like, in this case, the oppressor is you, fucking Lindy West, or whoever. You're the fucking oppressor I'm punching up at. But in their head, there's only one person who can be oppressed. It's me who's oppressed all the time by virtue of my birth. And you are the power structure by virtue of, and I don't know who, like, keeps adding fuel to this fire. Like, why do people believe that?
A lot of this is all comes from academic bullshit. Also.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since I'm a professor.
I know.
White people, you and your problems.
Agreed.
So how do you now? Let me ask you this: you studied what, microbiology in college? Mm-hmm.
He's smart as hell.
And so you don't do science currently? Aside from this article, which is...
You got your master's, you ain't my master, motherfucker.
No.
No, but you... I mean, like, you've got the podcast, right?
University.
Oh, yeah, what's the name of the podcast?
What's Stand Up New York Labs?
That's Stand Up New York Labs.
What's the name of it?
University with Joe Zimmerman and Jono.
Okay. Oh, nice. All right.
And weren't you guys compiling, like, some, like... comedy studies, because I think Kurt was absolutely right that you've got one of the problems that we have all these non-comp comedians.
Yeah, so John and I have been working on, like, a project looking at humor and stuff.
Y'all need to go to the projects.
Yeah,
go to the projects and look at comedy. How about that, brother? Where's that research?
Working on it.
The people that study this shit, it just fundamentally don't understand.
But intellectualization of humor is such a non-starter. Also, like, you'll never be able to quantify why funny is funny. It's like, it feels like a punch in the gut. So you want to backtrace that neurological process? What are you going to do? An MRI on people?
I would really rather read a comedy study by comedians than whatever the fuck we're
you
reading.
You can't find where it comes from.
I don't know.
I think you're right. I got it. I don't know what it is, but I got it.
Yeah, right.
So long as they're
but that, yeah, that's. I mean, that's fucking... the thing. That's the thing about comics is that we're like, yeah, it makes people laugh. So that's what it is. But what if there's actually a more efficient way of doing it?
Well,
yeah, it's
I
called Jackass.
It.
Jackass is the most efficient.
Yeah.
It's like called Kevin Hart.
I'm gonna staple my testicles to myself.
Kevin Hart's scream is the most direct way to make people laugh.
I told Steve-O that. I'm like, why are you trying to be a comic? And take the long way around when you already had what the ultimate funny was.
Exactly.
Just getting punched
I can't
in the
be
balls.
Funnier than that.
Right.
Sure.
But the all these fucking nerds that do this, they really believe that intelligence makes something funnier, which it doesn't. People really think there's an intellectual component.
It's just like how you think. It's how you think. And
well,
how you
what is is you're taking logic.
People like seeing that.
See, this is the other thing with your...
even if it's rapey.
But there are people who like smart comedy.
Yeah, but I mean, you said not, in your article that there's humor mode that your brain's on and serious mode. And I would argue that is a total false dichotomy because there are smart jokes and there is stupid humor and you could think them through both. You can intellectually and viscerally find something funny.
Oh, it's different for different people.
Okay,
like, I don't tell fart jokes, but I like them.
In humor mode, our brain takes the leap of faith on incongruity and basically says, screw it, this is fun. No, it doesn't. I mean, that's 100% wrong, dude. What happens
is... he's different from that.
With a good joke, you take logic, you take sound logic, okay, and take it to its ridiculous conclusion. There's no leap there.
Right. Yeah.
The funny part is I followed these logical rules to get to this.
Right.
But so you leapt to that ridiculous point.
There was no leap.
There was.
I have a joke about, you know, why I think it's good to put fake tits on a 5-year-old at a beauty pageant, right? And because people are worried about pedophiles. So what better way to hide your child from a pedophile than to disguise her
as an adult,
as a voluptuous lady, okay? Yeah. There's no leap there. I'm following logic to get to a ridiculous conclusion.
It's a reductio argument.
Right. So that's what the joke is it's not that I'm leaping or whatever. It's that I'm taking the tools I've been given to discern this and got to
they
this.
They just want
to
see how it works. It's like a math teacher who want to see how you got to the conclusion.
Exactly.
But just know this, bitch. I got the right answer. Yep. Now get out my face. I'm a senior. It's my school.
But a joke but a joke is showing your work. That's why there's no leap of logic. It's that's what leads people to this inevitable conclusion, showing your work.
But listen, we ain't got to show the work. We don't want to keep it mysterious. We want to keep it a mystery how we get to the funny.
But the premise is showing your work.
Well, you know what the big problem is, dude? The democratization of this, and that's really the shit.
You're right.
You ain't got to call them names. You ain't got to call them names.
Now that there's fucking the internet and shit, like a lot of people like, I'm a journalist. I'm a comedian. I fancy myself a fucking thing. And art is not for people. It is for other artists and elites. And you're permitted to enjoy it too, maybe. But there's no. Well, that's Lindy West's terrible article. Just comedy belongs to all of us. No, it don't, bitch. It belongs to funny people, and you are permitted to listen to it. But you don't have a stake in it or a say because you're not funny. I mean, it's real fucking simple. I get in these arguments with his name? Right. I wish I get Hari to come.
Comedy's not politics, and words are not actions.
I think Hari just will not come on. He says he will, but I think he won't.
Who, Hari?
Hari Kondo Boobaloo.
Who's that?
You know Hari.
Hari.
Yeah, he was on. He's on the
other Indian comic.
Oh, Hari! Yes. I thought you said a tease for a second. Hari.
Dude, yeah, no. I mean, they're framing, dude. That, in fact, that entire San Francisco scene, their entire idea of how jokes work is so fucked. And it's always, because they look at it, they're political, so it's propaganda. Everything's propaganda for them.
Kurt.
Same thing with a right winger. Everything is, what's the message?
Here's the thing. Like, honestly, there's an audience for that. Like, there's an audience for what you're doing, but there's also an audience for what's happening in San Francisco. I think it's hard. Yeah. I mean, like, but
yes,
and that's it.
Of course there is.
It was an audience for Vanilla Ice.
And the people that are
producing. There's an audience for Christian comedy, too.
Sure, and it's also fucked up. But the people that are producing comedy for that audience would be really interested in looking at Raj's study and asking themselves those questions.
Oh,
I think that's it. Like, I don't think you are. I don't think Norton is.
No,
I'm
there's
not
a new thing now where this is supposed to be the goal. And then my favorite, that's why I had somebody make me that Louis license so I could tell whatever jokes I want. I had a Louis ID printed out that Aaron Gigglechick made for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Because I love, first of all, arguments are so terrible, but Lindy's was, they go, well, what about Louis? Because Louis has that joke. He goes, you should never rape anybody unless they want to have sex with you. Then what are you going to do? Not rape them? That's Louis's joke.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, by the way, very funny joke.
Great joke.
Follows none of the rules. It straight up advocates rape.
Yeah.
But literally, it's just a joke.
Right.
That's why it's okay. So, but none of them would go against Louis for that. So you go, well, why is he okay?
But he finally got this.
You're not Louis. That's the fucking answer. Yeah.
But here's the good news, Kurt. 10 years ago, they would do the same thing to Louis. They hated him.
Yeah.
Trust me, these same bitches would have hated him.
Yes,
so
because
in 10 years
it's
from now, you'll be the Louis.
It's called being cool, and it's called what I hate is consensus comedy.
You got to wait for the audience of depraved maniacs to catch up to you
and
be in charge.
If we've learned anything over the course
coming,
of the last,
don't worry, they coming.
Like 10 or 20 years or so, I mean, like, what a marginalized group is, or like who is, like what we believe, or like what's okay is changing so often that I feel like to claim like a higher than thou truth of the matter, it's just intellectually dishonest.
There's balkanization of who's privileged and who's not.
Yes.
You know, I have male privilege even though I'm Indian and
have white privilege because you're Indian. I don't know when Indians became, first of all,
that's what the British did to them.
All the other groups, here was the breakdown originally. Indians and Chinese were with white people. That was all together.
When?
They were.
That's how they looked
forever,
at it.
Forever.
I never looked at it.
I can attest to growing up, I was not a white person.
You can drop the railroad, whatever that bullshit.
Right, yeah. I'm like,
Indians,
look at the history.
Read Gandhi's letter to fucking.
Yellow journalism.
But that's how Gandhi looked at it. But don't think that that's how white people looked at it.
In modern society, the entire 80s I grew up in, Chinese and black and Indians were. Nobody was like, oh God, Indians are moving in. No one's ever fucking said that in
my life. Oh, I heard people say that many a time.
They were wrong about
this. They were black people.
No, I heard white people say that too when the Indians.
Where?
Even with my boy K1, who was talking to you in Kentucky.
His name's K1?
K1 is the Indian name. Do you want to attack that?
I do.
He lived in Kentucky just like him. Yes. And people always threw it. They called him nigga, saying nigga. They threw stuff at him just because he's Indian.
All right, listen.
The only family in that neighborhood.
I wouldn't take Kentucky as the model for everything, but I'm just telling you in general, if you look at the achievement.
That's America, nigga.
If you look at the achievement pile, the Indians and Asians are at the top of the heap. They're not at the bottom of the heap. They're at the fucking top. Now, you might have to hear a small dick joke. Well, not Indians, but if you're Asian, boo fucking who. But you're not like a.
Is it big Indian dick jokes? I never heard those.
By the way, everybody gets called nigger. I saw a bunch of teenagers calling a golden retriever nigger down the street. Everybody gets called that.
The prejudice against Indians is to not even think. In America.
They're not sexual? They've invented the Kama Sutra.
I'm not saying they literally. I don't think they're not sexual. I'm telling you the racism against against Indians is to not, in America, is to not look at them as sexual. Our last Indian guest attested to this.
Okay, you said that. Oh, you said America.
Now, in Canada, it's different.
That.
In Canada, you could be an Indian sex symbol. In Canada, or in England, it's different. But in America, they don't look at Indians as sexual beings. That's a fact.
Because it's racist. Because it's a dark man. Because it's a dark man.
It's not.
You know how hard
dark.
Black men have to fight to be sex symbols in this fucking country?
Well, they were turned into sex symbols.
Black people are
always
overly sexualized.
Before Jim Brown, name it.
But
no, like
before Jim Brown, name me one.
You fucking exactly. Newspaper article.
Dred Scott.
Dred Scott.
Hold on. Hold on.
You had the dick for that too.
Sherrod, the thing you're talking about.
Christmas addicts.
Not a sex.
No, no. Black men had the exact opposite problem, which is they were thought of as overly sexual
predators.
And the fight is to take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Listen, they try to take
To Kill a Mockingbird.
So yes, they're trying to say we're rapey because they wouldn't want it.
Yes, but that's different than starting out at they're not even sexual. They said blacks are very sexual. We got to desexualize them. It's a different thing. That's
but
what
I'm talking
saying.
About as far as being sex symbol. Because being a sex symbol on TV on the movies don't make you a rapist because you're black. So you can be a sex symbol.
Well, they were a sex symbol, but it was negative for them. Do you understand? It was.
Who made it negative?
White people talking about big black bucks and
listen,
like using that to
trying,
justify.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
I'm trying to.
What happened to Indians is they don't even look at them as a sexual being. What happened to black people
you
is.
You think that was always the case when the British first got to India, those dudes was walking around just
in America. Jesus fucking Christ. I can't get a thought out.
You can
in
get
America,
out, go ahead, squeeze it out.
People don't look at Indians as sexual. Now, when they look at black people as hypersexual, that's a different thing.
Like
it's also shitty, but it's not the same as what Indians got.
Because they had, you know why? Yeah. Because they had a different introduction into this country.
Yeah.
But if you look at a country that we had a similar introduction, like England, you see the same shit that these sexuals,
nobody believes.
They take away
their
sexuality from a dark man always. That's what happened.
No,
in England,
I feel like
they
in
don't
room,
feel like that. In
nobody,
England, it's a lot different. England
nobody
is not
believes
like
that there's something about the genetic makeup of Indian men or the genetic makeup of like black men that makes one group sexual or not sexual. We're talking about this.
Whoever's the man in charge? No, that's not true.
Fucking,
whoever's in charge? Whoever's the niggas in charge, whoever it is, white man,
right.
Every other dude is not going to be looked at it sexually. Whoever's in charge, every other dude, I don't care what it is, and they're not sexual or they too sexual,
right.
They ain't acceptable sexually.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it is.
Yes, exactly.
It's not acceptable.
But what that narrative doesn't put on you.
Yes, we're not even disagreeing.
Okay.
I'm trying to explain.
Okay, but I'm telling you it's the same. It's part of the same pot, and you're trying to tell me what I know. You're trying to tell me what I know.
I'm agreeing with you.
I'm trying to clarify
Let's wrap
the gibberish you're All right. Well, Raj, thanks for coming in, dude.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thanks, Raj. You're a great guest, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And a very sexual man.
Very sexual. I say very sexual.
Appreciate that.
Really a great guest, but oozing sexuality.
Yeah.
Even Kutrapali had to go get an
Raj's
Indian supermodel girlfriend.
What's your podcast called? Plug your podcast.
Universe City here at Stand Up New York Labs.
Yes.
Joe Zimmerman and John Ozzale.
And what do you guys talk about?
We talk about science. Make it funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't make it rapey.
We try not to.
Okay.
But you never know.
When
Joe's
you start
in.
Mixing chemicals.
Sounds
you know.
Hot as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should get to the bottom of why Jono has the worst name I've ever heard.
He's great. It's a Hungarian name.
It sounds like
but
a rape name. Like his
he
name
might be great, but the name does name. Suck.
He was going to go with goulash, but...
It sounds like his name is John, but he rapes, so girls call him John. No,
John's comedy. I looked up his comedy online. It's not bad at all. It's just his name is a fucking horrible name. That's all.
Caitlin, if he was named Curto, you would be saying the same thing.
It's just the O. Take the O off, and it's great.
Thank you for coming out, man. Grace Wars.
Curto.
Good old Curto. God bless you. Good night.
Right, thanks.